Skagway School starts classes with strong enrollment and one new teacher. And Haynes artist Dave Paul talks about his Fort Seward Sculpture Garden project. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The new school year is underway at the Skagway City School. Students, teachers, and administrators there are excited about some brand new technology. And there's a new faculty member whose job involves helping both the youngest and oldest Skagway students succeed. KHNS's Greta Mart has more.
Last week, Aaron Schmidt's high school students were unpacking the school's newest high-tech tool. It's a 3D printer for the school's STEM classroom where kids learn science, technology, engineering, and math. Here's Schmidt.
We've never had a tool like this here in our school, and to be able to put that, it's still in the box in front of students and say, go for it, figure it out, was pretty exciting. We plan to incorporate this into everything from advanced robotics to simply fun.
Along with Eric Wortman, Schmidt co-teaches the STEM class at Skagway. Both are in their second year of co-teaching the class. Skagway's STEM curriculum aims to stay open to innovation and celebrate discovery among students.
We have a lot of ideas, but we really do want to leave space for creative energy and see where these young people want to take these skills and these tools.
The school district superintendent, Dr. Josh Coffrin, says so far everything has gotten off to a great start.
I really feel a real vibe of positivity this year, and so it's just been great having the kids and the teachers back.
The school year began with approximately 108 kindergarten through 12th grade students, says Coffrin, the most enrolled since the 2004-2005 school year. The school has 11 full-time teachers. Coffrin says the municipality of Skagway financially supports the school well, and he doesn't have any serious budgetary concerns this year. The only cuts impacted the school lunch program.
One of the things that concerned us this year was the legislature's refusal to reappropriate the funds associated with the NAFS grant, and that was the grant that allowed 100% reimbursement to school districts for any food that was caught or harvested in Alaska.
The grant allowed the Skagway School to spend $20,000 last year on locally caught halibut, salmon, crab, and produce for school lunches. As for capital projects, Coffrin says there will soon be new sidewalks out front. The school worked with the Skagway Traditional Council on the design. Too many skin knees and other minor injuries prompted a new surface for the school's playground. Workers have begun tearing out the blacktop and replacing it with sod. A new multimedia and industrial design class is just one of the new offerings in the high school, says Coffrin. He's trying to resurrect the former glory of the school's DDF program, that's drama, debate, and forensics. Forensics in this case refers to the evidence used for a particular argument during debate. In the past, Skagway DDF students have won some state championships. So this year, the high school students can earn an English credit by taking speech and debate, instead of it only being an extracurricular choice that conflicted with after-school sports.
By virtue of moving that into the school day and students being able to work on pieces as far as oration or debates, anything like that, they have a chance to work on that during the school day and then compete when the DDF season starts while simultaneously being involved in cross country or volleyball or basketball.
A new face in the Skagway faculty lounge this year is Michaela Stidham. She wears four different hats at the school. She's the preschool teacher, the college and career counselor, and the district test coordinator. She also coordinates the distance learning opportunities for the high school students.
Yep, and bringing them in and pushing them out. That's kind of the idea here. So I'm working with the very youngest students here at the school and then also the ones that are ready for the next step in life.
Stidham says she's thrilled to be at Skagway School.
I could not be happier to be serving this community in this way, so it's really exciting for me.
The 2015-16 school year runs from August 20th through May 17th of next year. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Greta Mart.
After this summer's one and only opening for king salmon, many Southeast commercial trawlers have found something else to do instead of fishing for coho or chums. King fishing was open for 8 days in July, and the fleet landed just over 165,000 Chinook during that time. Patty Scannis is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's troll management biologist for Southeast. She says the effort in the troll fishery since that king salmon opening is at historically low levels.
We looked all the way back to 1980 and compared The number of permits fished each week this year compared to the past, this is the lowest on record, going all the way back to 1980. And that's related strongly to the price. The price per pound is also very low.
Trawlers who did stick with the summer fishery are normally targeting coho or chums. The average troll-caught coho price this summer is 88 cents a pound, a little over half of the long-term average. Fleet numbers were higher during the first and only summer king opening in July. However, Scannis thinks many trawlers since then opted to do something else.
Some have switched to doing other fisheries, could be longlining or shrimping, crabbing. Some headed south after the king opening. I heard that some of the trawlers who have tuna permits down south went down to do that instead.
Scannis thinks effort will continue to decline through the rest of the summer season, and she thinks the run could come near the long-term average. Catch rates for coho started off strong in July, but have since dropped down to be near average in mid-August, around 70 per boat per day. As of the middle of August, the fleet had totaled around 741,000 coho since July 1st. This season was unusual, with no second king opening and no closure to allow coho to escape to the inside waters of Southeast. Dave Paul is making one of his signature kinetic art pieces for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. Paul is one of 17 Haines artists creating installations for the Alaska Arts Confluence's outdoor art project at the site of the burnt-out Fort Barracks. He is creating a steel seascape on a rusted water tank salvaged from the barracks. It's called the Tank with the Crank.
Okay, so this is a big rusty water tank. It's a remnant of the burned out barracks at Fort Seward, which burnt back in the early 80s. And so that's why it's so rusty. You've been sitting out in the rain ever since then. What you're starting to see form up here is a seascape on the side of this water tank. Near the bottom, there's starfish and an octopus and stuff that you would find near the bottom of the ocean. And then as you move up the tank, which will be standing vertically when it's finished, there'll be some salmon or some other fish. And then up near the top, there'll be a few things that you would expect to see on the surface of the water. I don't want to let all my secrets out yet until it's done. It has some moving parts, and if you step over to here, you will see, or in this case, you'll hear the sound maybe of this crank being turned. And when you turn the crank about 10 times, there's a shaft that comes down to the top of the tank, which rotates. What I've done is I've put the gears on of an old cement mixer inside the tank. And then, I guess I'll let my secret out of the bag at the top. When you turn the crank, revolving around near the top of the water column is going to be a whale on one side and a guy in a little skiff, little motorboat going around. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, a little hard on the elbows, but it's something I enjoy. It's, I enjoy making things. In my earlier career, I was a shipwright, so I had experience with metal and wood and fiberglass, and it's been kind of one of my goals from early on in life to live kind of a little bit of a self-sufficient lifestyle. And so out of that, I've become somewhat of a do-it-yourselfer, maybe not necessarily a do-it-right. Sometimes it's a do-it-twice, but nonetheless, it's something I enjoy. And so this was an opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time, working on something that I enjoy, and hopefully, the community will be able to enjoy it for years to come. So, you can see kind of things are going around there. It takes 10 cranks of the crank for the shaft that goes around the top of the tank to rotate once. I just like the kinetic art, I guess you could call it. I've kind of got an attraction. It's, for one thing, it's interactive. It's something that they can not only look at, but actually walk up to and operate. And I think that there's something to be said for that. So, yeah. So inside the shop here, I'll show you some of the other things that will be connected to the outside of the tank. Here we have some salmon that have been hammered out of plate steel and some starfish. There's going to be about 10 different sizes and shapes of starfish. Here we have a guy that in the skiff that will revolve around the top of the tank. And you can see I still have to make the outboard motor for him. And it's always rewarding, you know, to, after a day of hammering, to have something that you can, you know, to show for it.
That was Haynes artist Dave Paul talking about his installation for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. You can see pictures and other artist profiles at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.